how long gone. Another day, another dollar, them jeans back in LA. How you feeling?
Not wonderful, but not bad.
Okay. Is it, I mean, I know you had a light travel day, but you've also had some domestic issues. So is that those things combine to cause you some problems?
Yeah. When you say that word, it makes it sound.
I didn't mean that. Obviously, God, don't.
I'm just saying, is it obvious? You know.
I mean, if you have a dirty mind like you, obviously you go to a dark place. But for me, domesticity does not have anything to do with.
I've got a dirty little mind, and I'm into domestic issues.
So domestic issue genes. You've had to deal with some stuff since you got home.
Yeah, it is exciting stuff for the listeners.
That's what I thought.
There's an electric tankless water heater that lives under the kitchen sink that apparently this morning was creating some smoke.
Oh no.
So,
and you sure it wasn't maybe your housemate hitting a bong or anything? You're sure it was a problem?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So you can't, okay,
that I can't verify. I was up in the Yay area, home of Big L, so I was unable to really know. So yeah, it was just kind of feeling around in the dark. But
let me take a quick guess about this. I'm going to say that something like this, when you were thousands of miles away in a different part of the state you live in, it somehow was your problem to fix.
It was on the docket for me today, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
I feel like that... You've had a little personal tinge to it, which I like. Oh, let it out however you can. You know?
I would never. I just think it's funny that sometimes, you know, when there's nothing someone can do about something, it's still their problem. That's all I'm saying.
Damn.
That's all I'm saying.
I feel like we need some Chris Black merchandise that says I would never, but I just did.
That could be in our Bravo shop.
Bravo shop. But yeah. So that's, you know.
But this is something that them jeans known handyman Jason the tool man Stewart cannot fix on his own. You have to call in some professional help, a ringer, if you will.
You can call him a ringer, you can call him a plumber, however you want to slice it, but yeah, I need to call somebody from, ironically, somebody not from the Ringerverse. For such a sporting network over there, they don't really seem too handy.
I'll tell you what,
Chevy Volt repair.
Yeah, no one at the Ringer has even put a nail in the wall, and that's a shot at myself too. But
they can find you a charging station real quick, though.
They can definitely find you a charging
station.
But
yeah, it's something that, where, you know, if gun to my head, if my life depended on it, I could do it and figure it out. But it's not that situation, and you know, it would probably just take me all day, and I'd be nervous, and you know, you got to turn the water off and the electrical and wiring and plumbing soldering and all the, you know, it's,
once you start soldering, not for me. I don't trust anybody, you know. That's kind of where I go.
I've soldered a lot.
What the fuck have you soldered?
Honestly, I don't even know. It was a long time ago.
Damn.
But I like soldering.
You do it all, man. That's cool.
Uh-huh. I'll smelt some shit. You don't know about this life.
I clearly do not.
But yeah, we went to, I had a beautiful JSX flight. I did have to put my suit inside of my suitcase because they wouldn't store my suit on their beautiful closet that has about 3 feet of closet space and not a single suit on there. But
I was about to say, I didn't even know they had a closet. I figured they just didn't have one.
Well, they have a closet.
Oh, okay.
That you're allowed to put your jacket on the hanger and put it in the closet, but if your jacket is has a protective case around it, you know, a very thin, light garment bag. Sheath, mm-hmm. Like a laptop case.
Yes.
But for clothes.
Yes.
If it has that, then no.
Okay. Did you do some Jason style passive aggressive dueling with any employees at JSX, or did you just kind of let them rock?
No. Well, no. On the first time around, I was like, it was a little bit of a, you got to be kidding me, but it was, she had also just given me an exit row. So she was nice and sweet. So, you know, it's, you know when to pick the battles, and you know when it's just going to be like, there's no use in arguing.
Yeah, you're not going to win this one.
It's company policy, hands are tied, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to waste my time. But this time, since I knew about that, I just had to cram my fucking suit into my suitcase and then go get a dry clean tomorrow.
It's funny how much this bothers you, because I actually fold my garment bag and put it in my suitcase and it works just fine. To be, and this is not a shot. I'm just, if you fold it correctly, it should be okay. No, I'm not. I mean, obviously the garment bag is used to protect the suit.
I know what you mean.
It should be used properly as the way you're doing it. You're in the right here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I do that because I can't. I have too many things with me, so I have to do that. And it's worked historically.
But now, I've done it as well. I mean, it's not ideal, but in a pinch, it gets the job done. But you are traveling to Europe, and you had your new Rimowa luggage, and I believe you had an affectionate nickname for it already. Is that, what was it again? I forgot.
I did, because I upgraded, finally, thanks to the good people at Rimowa. I have a trunk, and I have affectionately referred to it as Donald Trunk. When I'm in transit. Damn.
That's a good name for like a big dicked Republican.
I think calling my
Make America girthy again.
I think my liberal suitcase, LVMH owned suitcase, I think the irony of calling it Donald Trunk is funny.
Yeah, because most Trump supporters likely don't even know what a Rimowa trunk is.
Oh no. Trump supporters are getting their suitcase at TJ Maxx or Tumi. It depends on how much money they got.
I've got a beautiful Tommy Hilfiger suitcase that has treated me well through the years, from Salt Lake to Louisville 415.
It's no problem.
What I wanted to know, because obviously everyone loves a nice Rimowa suitcase. You get the silver guy. It's a stunner. But you wanted to get this trunk, I'm assuming, because it looks cool, it's unique, and it's not as common as the other shapes. But does it offer anything? Is this specific shape of the trunk, does that bring anything to the table in terms of functionality or user?
No, not that I'm...
Is it just cool?
Not that I'm
cool
looking? Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the real issue is that my long-standing, hard-wearing, checked bag that I had for years that looked like it had been to Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
It finally... I would have used that longer, but it finally, like... I had it repaired.
Looked like the Meat is Murder helmet. All fucked up.
I had probably five. I probably had it repaired five times. And I was like, you know what? I think this thing, the wheel stopped working. Mm. And the trunk is just, it's the nicest bag they make. It's the best. But it doesn't seem to have any, it's just deeper on one side.
Okay.
That's the, you know, it really is shaped like a trunk, whereas the
other... It's deeper on one side, but it's shorter on the other. Does it have a similar cubic volume capacity?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Okay, so it's just does. Moving it around.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like what they're doing with my conspiracy theory on coffee.
It's like what they're doing with the fat from my thighs and...
They got your ass looking
They're
good.
They're moving
now.
Some of that to a different location in my body, and it's helping things out.
Yeah. They took your thighs and put it right under your eyes, and you're not looking puffy anymore.
Okay. Well, if any listeners out there have a different name for your bag other than Donald Trunk, I'd be willing to hear. I mean, it's good. There's no wrong answers in the brainstorm sesh, but, you know, call me a fool, but I think we could do one better.
Oh, that's actually disrespectful to me and my incredible sense of humor. I think Donald Trunk is really funny.
Yeah.
And
you think Below Deck is good too, but you know, there's a spectrum in terms of quality out there. You know that.
Below Deck has some good seasons. I want to be clear. It's not all good. Okay.
It's like me saying, look, my Tumi bag, it was great. You know, it was a fine suitcase, and which is not false, you know?
No.
It did get the job done, but you know, we could do better.
We could always do better. I sent you something earlier that I have now delved deeper into, that a few people have mentioned to me.
Yes.
That they wanted us to
very talk, slow news day on TikTok.
Talk about, but it's, I wanted to, you know, because we uncovered the name Kush Jumbo, you know, a couple episodes ago, which is truly amazing and a gift to us and the listeners.
Yeah, we had a dinner with friend of the show George from 1975. We went over to All Time.
Oh yeah,
and he was talking about, he was like, We get this a lot when somebody says, like, I was listening to blah, you know, to X, and then I had to, you know, nearly pull over the Renwall or whatever because I was chuckling so hard. But he really got a kick out of the Kush.
He's like, this can't be real. Yeah, he was laughing Kush again. Jumbo. But the Kush, so Kush Jumbo, the coolest name ever uncovered. There's a new TikTok couple that is like a very southern guy who is now become kind of like a character in his like hot rich wife's outfit TikToks.
Yeah.
But her nickname is Pookie, which I've heard before. But her real name is Campbell Puckett, which is, I would say Campbell Puckett is on par with Kush Jumbo as far as names go. Like, it's unbelievable that she has a nickname when her real name is that good. Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you, maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol. I got Raf on the nut. .com promo code how long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code how long. Okay, Campbell Puckett is definitely like a high school pitcher.
100%.
From UCLA, who's like really, you know, we got a lot of, we have a lot of scouts keeping an eye on Campbell Puckett.
I'm getting scouted. Yeah, I'm getting scouted. He hasn't had to have any elbow surgery yet.
Yeah, he's a big left hand. He's got a cannon. He's out of Arizona State.
He's got a cannon.
He's got a cannon on him.
The thing about Campbell is that her slider isn't great, but she is, she's based in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
So I know exactly what kind of guy this is, but he also, it's really funny. But they're just kind of like, they're kind of matter of fact, but he says stuff like, Pookie is looking absolutely fire tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While he's wearing kind of like a, you know, sports shirt from a southern brand that no one's ever heard of, and like an Hermes belt with some chinos. But it's really, you got to check them out.
I mean, I'm familiar with it. I've seen it, and I read the Bustle piece that you sent me as well while I was in the sauna. I listened to it, if I'm going to keep it a band, Pookie. But the affectionate nickname, Pookie, that is, it's not uncommon down in the South, right? you were down in Charleston or Atlanta or any places like that?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the only Pookie I know is from outside of Philadelphia. So I don't know. I've never encountered a Pookie except in New York City.
Okay.
It feels old school waspy East Coast to me, but I think there is some,
yeah,
there is that
yeah,
crossover.
I guess it is a little more waspy. It's kind of the toxic matriarch of the family.
Yes.
Kind of vibe.
Yeah. You don't want
to get on Pookie's bad side or you'll be cut out of the life insurance plan.
Yeah. Don't cross Pookie after her second gin martini at 4 p.m. Or you might get cut out of the will.
No, Pookie is going to do that thing where you sit down and Pookie's going to pull out the checkbook to make you go away.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's very... Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to keep zeros.
What's it going to cost?
On this checkbook.
What's it going to cost?
For you to get your dirty hands off of my voucher. So I have seen this in... People are sort of mystified by it because it's just this normal-ass guy who has never said anything cool or Gen Z-ish like that ever, and then he's saying, like, you know, he's like a whatever his job is, a business consultant.
Business consultant.
He's a business consultant, which means his family owns an oil company. He's a business consultant in the way that the way that Hunter Biden is an attorney. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. No. Definitely. Definitely.
No shade to the H man, but so it feels like when you're watching and just like that, and then like. You know, like Che Diaz's slam piece for the weekend says that like these jackfruit nachos are fire or something like that, and you're like, yeah, no. This just doesn't feel right.
Well, somebody describes it as everything he says sounds like he's saying it for the first time, which I think is a really great way to describe the way someone speaks.
Because he's reading it off of a teleprompter Pookie bought off Amazon.
Yeah, Pookie bought an Amazon Basics teleprompter for him to learn how to use the word fire properly when referring to her Birkin bag.
Amazon Basics teleprompter. We joke, but we're months away. That's going to be on the strategist in no time. Like, what? These are the top 10 best Bluetooth teleprompters for under $99.
Yeah, no, that's coming.
Make
very
sure you
soon.
Click through.
That's very soon. But yeah, if you haven't seen them yet, check them out on TikTok. It's apparently they're really coming up. Like, it really basically she was doing,
they're bubbling.
Well, she was doing her thing, and it was like fine. And then once he started coming into the picture, shit went brazy.
So I guess there's some through lines. I mean, it's always nice to see a female creator pivot and succeed first and foremost.
Couldn't agree more, Justin.
So it's kind of similar when Bobby, whatever the girl that...
I think her last name is Antonoff, but not like Jack.
Bobby Antonoff, whatever it is. The she was like a mommy blogger, mommy TikToker person, and then blew up, rose to fame as soon as she started doing a Zach Galifianakis shtick incredibly poorly. Then... That started taking off, and that's the version of like,
yes,
maybe I'll put my idiot but rich husband on here.
Yes.
And people are gonna love the fact that he treats his queen like a queen.
Yeah, exactly. Like if your husband dresses, also he just comes out and says how great she is, so it's kind of the perfect thing, and it is couple goals to be supportive like that, which I think is probably what makes it so relatable to all of these women who have Stanley Cups.
Yeah. Which I recently learned have lead in them, which is bad for my Stanley stock.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
They released a statement saying it's there is lead.
Okay.
But
trace amounts.
It can only harm you if the mug or the thing has been, you know, damaged or something. Exposing
the lead.
Exposing the lead.
Okay.
so worry not.
That makes me feel better. That makes you feel a lot better. Well, we had a show in San Francisco.
I'm not done talking about Pookie yet.
Oh, you're not.
We have to milk the Pookie. So there's like it seems like people really seem to like, they're like, yes, this guy's a serial killer. Yes, they're AI created lifeless, soulless people whose entire existence is just to show off their Hermes bags and when they go to dinner and get mezcal martini or whatever. But there always has to be some sort of downside. There always has to be a give and a take. something bad has to happen to them.
See, this is why, this is what I don't like. Everybody, these people rise to fame and stardom from a real place of authentic displays of love and affection among a hetero couple, something we don't get a lot of these days. And and now you, a member of a hetero couple, are trying to kind of chop them down and bring them down and wish harm upon their family, and you want their riches to evaporate. And I don't think that's, I don't think that's fair.
I don't want their riches to evaporate. I'm just saying, you know, if everyone is saying like, yes, this is couples goals, this is a person who treats his partner like a queen, and it's like, yes, you could have that if you are a millionaire hot blonde woman who marries a 5'5" guy. You can also be treated like a queen, but then you also have to be married to a 5'5" weird little guy who says things are fire.
It doesn't, but that doesn't matter because he's able to purchase bags and stuff for her. So it doesn't seem, I don't think his looks are even.
On the most severe scale, you've got, there was like Anna Nicole Smith married that like 98-year-old guy, like
the goat.
Yeah, he was probably buying her bags too, right? But at what cost?
I mean, I see no issue, to be honest. I see no issue. I mean, if everybody understands what the relationship, the Anna Nicole Smith's a great example. Texan beauty queen, huge yabos.
Yeah,
she wants to live a certain lifestyle. Old guys like, I can maybe have sex with you once a month if I put like intravenous drugs in to make my blood flow.
Sure.
And then they're good to go. It's, I mean, if they
to,
like,
to me, it's such a spectrum though, because it's like, is the only point of your life to amass Hermes bags?
Mine? No, but
no, not yours.
Some women, yes. That's, yes, exactly. I mean, women and Drake.
But is that a life, you know? And then also my next question is, what if there's some sort of compromise between the two where like, maybe you don't need 11 Hermes bags. Maybe just one would be great. But then you have like a normal, cool husband instead of like a tiny guy who plays golf and has a micro penis.
It's really nice of you to talk about me like this in the coded language. And I agree with you. But I think that people in general are terrible monsters. And we all are capitalist pigs who crave high-end items to feed our egos and make us feel better about ourselves. And some people take it further than others. You, for example, Jason, you have it very under control. You like nice stuff sometimes, but you're not you're not crazy. But there are other people that approach it differently. And when they see the Hermes in purple croc, they just can't get to the Amex fast enough. They just can't. It makes them feel too good.
Yeah, I'm with it. I get it. To those people, bummer. I'm sorry. But if that's what really makes you happy, then go for it. But it shouldn't be that thing. Bad Pookie.
Pookie, bad Pookie. Oh, man. Well, yeah, we had a show last night in San Francisco at a theater. Like this show, because it was like a sketch fest thing, we didn't really, or at least I didn't. I don't want to speak for you, Jason. I didn't really look into it that much. I was just kind of like, all right, sick. Yeah, we're doing it. And the theater was very cool that we did it in. It was in Chinatown. It was a place, I guess, owned by Bruce Lee's parents. And Bruce Lee like lived there as a child.
Yeah.
So but they also have, it's like a proper theater where they have like stage productions. So like the ceilings are really high. It's got all the trappings of like a Broadway backstage.
Yeah. It was giving Miss Maisel, for those who know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It was really, but it made me feel like I needed to kind of, you know, do my hair and makeup and talk to myself in the mirror before I went out there.
Really? You had to go Berlant mode.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You had to Kate.
Yeah, I had to do a Kate. Yeah.
I'm Kating. And also, side note, I think if any of our television or film developers out there, anyone over at Hulu listening or Amazon, imagine a TV series, Lil Bruce Lee, the origin story, sleeping in like some cot in the rafters of a vaudevillian theater in Chinatown, where his parents, I think they said it was sort of like like circus-y, like trapeze kind of kind of work, and then he's growing up. That's a what a wonderful AAPI story that you could be telling.
That is a good idea, Jason. And this is why I keep you around.
Store, give me 10 pages on this store.
I need 10 pages on this by Monday on my desk. I found it to be very. It was nice. These last handful of like. Places we've done shows have been very it feels different. They're nicer.
Yeah, I'm grateful as we slowly raise in the ranks of live podcasting that the venues that we're getting are bigger and bigger. Their Wi-Fi is stronger and stronger. Then also that is one perk about San Francisco. It seems like all of their kind of civil duty and municipal work has been funneled into very lightning fast Wi-Fi speeds everywhere.
Yes.
Not so much the drug epidemic or.
I did have a nice not to sidebar us, but I did have a nice drive through the Tenderloin this morning on my way to lunch, and let me tell you something else. Oh my, I honestly, you know, when I think things, I think everybody blows everything out of proportion. You know, I'm always like, how bad could it fucking be? Shut up, you're being a pussy. It is that bad.
Mm-hmm. And Tenderloin, even before San Francisco was going through what it's going through now, you know, even in just 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, the Tenderloin has always been known as like an infamous, like that and like Hunter's Point, I believe, like those are the kind of classically known no-no zones. Yes, that's where it gets rough.
Yeah. But I mean, I just, it's really something to see.
What'd you see? What'd you see over in the Loin, CB?
I mean, I saw a guy that had laying on the ground and he had no pants on,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like he was dying.
Yeah.
There was 100 people standing around him, you know, like arguing.
Right.
No one even, it really is like, it's pretty gnarly. And New York has some of this, obviously, mm-hmm. but it really is. I think here in Vancouver are both like really, it's dark. Mm-hmm. We all know this. It's been written.
I hate to talk about it.
But our show was good. I mean, you know. It's coming to San Francisco for 48 hours, having a good show, a couple meals. Life is good.
I agree.
It's not that bad. But
thanks to everyone who came out from the Yay.
Yeah, and thanks to our boy Phil, our new friend Phil Griffiths, who we did something kind of different where we just kind of asked around about a guest that would just be somebody that would be fun and cool. And Phil, we had never met. We had never spoken, really, except mm-hmm. like to say what time to be there. And I got to say, Phil did a great job, and Phil was a really good sport.
He was a good sport. He had a cool, interesting story that we were able to sort of dive into.
Yes.
He was a creative director during COVID, lost his job or was laid off or whatever. I don't know, furloughed, who knows. And then decided to go full-time into comedy, and he's 50 years old. It's an interesting, cool redemption story. I like it. He pivots.
Yes, he pivot, and he's got like two. He's got like a two daughter, like one daughter in college. You know, he's like got mm-hmm. a full life. It was, I don't know. It was very interesting, and I didn't know. I don't know anybody that's kind of done that in their life at that age.
No, I don't know. I don't know any of them at all. But it was also cool that whenever we do the live shows with a guest. You know, it's kind of like we know the crowd knows who the guest is. We know what's going on, and we already know the guest. We've talked in the backstage before. We've mm-hmm. probably already done a podcast with them. We're friends with them in real life. But to have a truly organic, like the first question I ever asked him was in front of an audience, and then just free flowing and going from there, and to have the crowd be interested and down to learn on this journey together, it was kind of unique and interesting. I liked it. And I sent him a message in the morning saying, like, thanks for being a good sport as we sort of unravel and dissect the inner workings of your personal life for the very first time in front of a packed theater audience, you know? But I guess as a comedian, you kind of have to.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of the deal.
Your skin is already thick.
I think that's part of the deal, but you never know, man. You know, people are freaks. But we finally got to go to a bar part-time after a place I've heard about for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this concept of like cool young people only drinking wine,
mm-hmm.
it feels insane to see. Like, it feels insane to go into this place It's well designed. It's fucking popping. The music is good. The sound system is good. There's fog. There's a disco, but you know, whatever. And you look around and everybody's just got a nice red that they're having with their friends, and four glasses, please, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's taking a shot of Jamie. No one's asking for a pickleback. No one's pissed that you don't have the right. You know what I mean? It really makes it feel more sophisticated in a way.
But in a way that you don't like, or
No, I liked it. I really liked it. I thought it was a really nice. I mean, I don't go into those environments very often, but I felt very, I mean, we were with one of the owners that could have something to do with it, but I felt very comfortable and like relaxed. And as you pointed out, because it's like an audiophile situation, like the music is not so loud you can't have a conversation, which is the
music is bumping, but you're still able to have a conversation because, you know, like you said, it's still, at the end of the day, it's a Thursday night and we're drinking wine, so we're not peaking on Molly and screaming to techno. It's kind of a chiller vibe. It's good because in LA you don't really have that. It's just like you have El Prado, you know, people will say that it's kind of the LA or the San Francisco version of El Prado, but El Prado is just, you know, you get like a 5-gallon bucket turned upside down on Sunset Boulevard and, you know, a $111 bottle of skin contact and some Hestias, and you're good. That's all you got. But this is a proper venue with the proper sound system and places to sit and booths and furniture and things like that. So it was cool to be in it. And it also was the vibe where you could do coke in there in a very civilized manner.
Oh, I think people were doing coke in there for sure.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, if there's one of the guys from LCD Sound System DJing, I'm getting a fucking bag. I'll tell you that.
I mean, in San Francisco, you'll get a bag if the UPS guy showed up. You know what I mean?
My package came. Let me call my guy.
Right. America runs on Dunkin'. San Francisco runs on mid-level cocaine.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
But it did have one of my favorite features as an audiophile myself. It had a rotary mixer and the DJ booth, which kind of lets me know that it's for real heads only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that are bringing their own needles, they're hauling vinyl.
Yeah, they have that thing where the little weight that they put on records sometimes.
Yeah.
If you have some warping, or it'll help with some of the vibration distortion.
Yeah, I mean, some of these imports are so old. How could they not be warped? You know what I mean? It's just they've been through hell. You know, they've been to hell and back.
Yeah, if we go back there and do another show and I DJ there, I will have to request a non-rotary mixer or also have a panic attack again.
So, but we talked about this last night a little bit, but you're like, I can do it. It just sucks because I'm not used to it. It's not my thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, I can drive stick.
Yeah.
If I'm going to like go, if I have like a cute little Porsche and I'm zipping around like the hills in Malibu in a sanctioned off area, then yeah, let's get a stick going. That's all good. But if I'm going to go sit on the 101 in traffic, I'm fine with the automatic.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm a little bit surprised. I you know, because you're such a man, you know, you love to fix things. And you're such a great driver. You're the best, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm surprised that you're not more of a stick fetishist.
That's a good point. And also, I'm a more of a quick mixer than a slow mixer. And rotary mixer, quick mixing on rotary. And also if you're going to play hip hop or anything like that, that's very difficult on a rotary.
So you're saying rotary mixers are basically for guys who want to play tasteful dance music.
It's for some long DJ Harvey blends and, you know, groovy 12-minute songs and things like that.
Okay. That actually makes sense. I mean, the music was great last night. I liked it, and I didn't know what it was, and they didn't even have lyrics, you know, so it's no guitar in sight. But we did. We also we got to build with Lance Bangs. We went to get some late night eats with Lance.
Chris, we hit the pupuseria.
I mean, it was pretty good. What did you think?
I liked it. Yeah, it was quite nice. I was talking to. Who was I talking to? Yeah, I was talking to Lance, saying like, nice to have a base of like beans and rice at the end of the night. Like when at the end of the night, you get you know greasy slice of pizza, something like that. It can kind of set a precedent in the stomach that it could be considered more volatile. Mm-hmm. But a plain white rice with a plain black bean, it sets a very kind of warm and comforting base in the stomach.
Yeah,
especially if you have some glue floating around in there, you know.
That makes sense. That really makes sense. But we spent, you know, most of the evening with Lance, and we both noticed, because Lance is like a pretty legendary like documentarian and video director, that he's very easy to hang out with in a way that's like kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, that's because this is what he does for a living. All he does is kind of hang out. Like, he's got to hang out with people he doesn't know that well all the time. That's all he does.
And he also has to hang out with them all day, or potentially for months on end, depending on what the project is. And that really becomes so much of the job. And I'll hear Carolyn talking about it when she's like working on set or something. Like the photographer, their job is taking photos and like knowing about lighting and angles and all that stuff, but like you're the director, you're the maestro, your attitude is what is making it all happen, and the way you talk to people and the way they interact with you, and like that really is the difference between people who get hired and people who don't, where it's just like, oh, you're a good hang, you have a good attitude, you keep it going. That's nine tenths of the job. He's obviously good at, you know, filmmaking and image creating, but like if you suck and you're an ass, like you're not the only person who's good at Canon 5D.
Don't do that. Yeah, no, it was last night was,
yeah, shout out to Lance.
Last night was fun. I had a good time in San Francisco, I have to say. I went to Zuni with Adam today.
Did you get the roasted chicken?
No.
Did he?
No, and he was kind of like, the roasted chicken's fine, but it takes an hour, and it's roasted chicken. It's like, it's not, it's like the presentation right. is amazing, but it's, and it's good, but it's just not exciting, I guess. But I mean, we mm-hmm. they put us in a table upstairs in the corner. It had nice light, but the serve, it took forever. We were there for 2 hours.
Which was it like a busy lunch?
Yeah, it was busy, but it was more just like I felt neglected. You know, I was just like, you could have turned this table and made more money if you just paid attention. You know what I mean?
Did you guys order cuisines that took a long time to make? Coq au vin, smoked brisket or something?
Yeah, I called in the smoked brisket before we got there. No, we had a dozen local oysters that were delicious, very good. And then we had three different salads. We had the Caesar, we had the gym lettuce green goddess, and then we had the special, or not special, but something less traditional, which was like oranges, like sliced oranges with feta,
mm-hmm.
feta and pistachio and mint, which was very good.
Okay.
And then we had some shoestring fries as well, because that's a signature dish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so stuff that didn't take that long. I mean, I know how pissy you get for a lunchtime when you have your... You've got your pills and you're ready to go. And
no, I guess as a frequent diner in restaurants.
Hey, I get pissy too. Don't worry.
I feel like you can pick up on the vibe. Like, hey, these guys didn't order like any white wine at lunch. You know, these guys are here to hang out and eat, but they're not here to linger. You know, because there was another table of like six guys that looked like they were either friends with the owner or in the industry. And there were six bottles of open wine on the table. The amount of oysters in the oyster holder, I couldn't count. You know, those guys, yeah,
in the
take
tower.
Your fucking time. take your fucking time. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But you know, when it's two guys, on the, it just it seemed. But the food was delicious. I mean, it was very good. So whatever.
Here to put it's in work.
It's still a win. And we also had like a lemon sorbet with this little kind of like a pistachio cookie. Mm-hmm. Oh baby, that okay. was smacking.
Yeah, I was actually I just finished writing a horse's review. And I was originally going to mention the Zuni roast chicken, but a point that I was talking about or making was when I go out to a restaurant, I want it to be food that I don't or can't or, you know, it's not worth it to make at home. And I feel like a roasted chicken is like the prime example of something where even if it is the best ever, I just don't want to go to a restaurant and pay that much money and wait to get something that I can just make at home pretty easily.
Well, you can also get it at Publix, you know, on the way home from the office for your family. That's how I know roast chicken.
And yeah, and oftentimes you can get it at Publix or Costco or Vons, and it's often better. It's dry, but you know.
Someone, I can't remember who it was last night, was like, oh, you're going to Zuni tomorrow. Let me know what you think about the art. Because it's got like the most diabolically bad art
really
I've ever seen in a restaurant, and because the restaurant itself is so charming, it's got that like iconic huge copper bar on the ground floor, and it's like, you know, mm-hmm. all windows on a corner, and then you start looking at the art and you're like, this looks like IKEA versions of Andy Warhol soup cans. Like what is this?
Was it like Craig's level? No, Mr. Brainwash vibe.
It's Craig's. It's San Francisco. Yes, but it's very San Francisco. It's a little more like...
It's a little more Mike Giant.
I wish. No, it wasn't. No, it's not Mike Giant. It's more like... It's less street arty.
Okay.
You know, it's more kind of like... Not hippie is the wrong word, but not street art, which is what I equate...
I know what you mean.
Craig's with.
Sure. Okay. I was thinking when we were talking about going to our meal at Quint's, about how their salad course is called A Walk in the Garden. And I just thinking about how I think every single, you know, Michelin restaurant I've been to where they have a salad course that's like that, it's always called A Walk Through the Garden. And it's always a selection of chef's picks from the garden, as if a salad would be anything else but that.
Well, I think a salad could take on many forms. I don't want to get into the, you know... the nitty gritty on this, but I agreed. But I do think A Walk in the Garden is a fun and descriptive thing.
To me, it's giving Donald Trump. I always have like the sort of lyrical pet peeve of the wordplay. It makes me want to do better. It's like when I would watch like cooking TV shows, and it would be like, all right, you have to make this specific kind of dish, like on Top Chef or something. And they're like, what is the theme of your dish? And they're like, a tour of the world, or, you know, like something very, very vague that sort of means nothing. It's like a cop out kind of vibe. It really gets under my skin, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's also, look, I agree. I would rather it be called salad anywhere, of course, but I'm not going to fault anyone for trying to get a little bit creative with it. And it's also, if you're going to get creative with it, at least it's very obvious what it means. At least you're not getting creative with it and also confusing me.
Yeah. And speaking of the Quint's, on the last episode intro, how much did we get into the pasta course? Did we talk about that?
I think we saved that for the stage.
We should tell that story.
Because
that was a funny part of the show last night.
At Quint's, at most these Michelin star restaurants, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's kind of additions that you can add to your tasting for a nominal fee.
Supplemental menu items in addition to the tasting menu. You can get, you know, we've got a steak, or we've got a lobster, or the sea urchins, or the truffles. It's for baller stuff. And what did they call it? An enhancement. And the
enhancement.
The menu had maybe five different enhancements, a couple white truffle pastas, like a rack of veal, some cheeses, a risotto with sea urchin, and they're expensive. It's an expensive restaurant. So each dish was like $120 or something. Like if you want this white truffle pasta, it is $120 per person for a plate of pasta. And there was a couple kids next to us, you know, 24 or so. Couldn't tell if they were independently wealthy because they were in, you know, the Bay Area or Silicon Valley. And they could just be, you know, shitty teen founders who had a startup. Or if they were
teen founders. You know, just, honestly,
if it was mommy and daddy's money. What do you think it was?
Oh, I think those guys looked like, well, first of all, they both looked like they had never touched a man or a woman in a sexual manner. If I want to be very clear,
one of them was wearing a puffer jacket, like a Moncler puffer kind of vibe, zipped up the entire way for the entire meal while eating indoors in a Michelin restaurant. That was a little that was creepy.
I think it's a
like he was smuggling birds through an airport.
I think those guys are rich from family. I do not think those guys. I think they were college students is what I'm guessing.
Okay. C-, not C-suite.
Yeah. No, they probably do pretty well in school. They were fucking nerds. So, I'd hope. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't get it. They were kind of they were behind me, so I didn't get a good look at them.
Yeah, they were autists.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just crazy to see people like that. I mean, because the restaurant was busy, and everybody, I mean, we looked like freaks in that case.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a quiet luxury kind of place. It's a Marin mommy. Everyone there is rich and chic and understated, and no one would ever talk about things of that nature. And everyone is a cool chiller and used to be a hippie. And now they own enough Microsoft stock to fucking go to the moon or whatever. But these dudes were in there.
These two guys.
These two guys. And they were drinking a lot. You know, they had maybe three. I saw four or five cocktails on their table between the two of them. They were kind of, they had the energy as if they had just maybe stolen a credit card and were just buying.
We'll get everything. One of everything.
Because like the tasting menu, I think they said is like $400 a pop. And then with the supplements, if they got all the supplements, which I saw, they think they did get all of them. That's, you know, another 800 or something like that. You know, we're touching with drinks and wine and just, you know, all in, you know, a couple grand per person for a weeknight dinner between these two virgins. So it was a little stole the black card kind of vibe. But one of the guys was playing drums on the plate with his silverware. But not in like a good way, in more of...
And let's be clear. This wasn't me. I want to be very clear. This wasn't me. This was someone we don't know.
This isn't an elegant, quiet dining room full of a bunch of people who are, you know, 62. He was kind of drumming, and he was kind of Tom Yorking a little bit with his... He was like moving his head around, not in like a Tourette's kind of way, but not naughty. They ordered there's a white truffle pasta, and then there was another white truffle pasta, and you could choose between the two shapes that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they got both just cause.
Yeah, just that's pretty funny. That's pretty cool to get.
So,
both.
So in addition to a full tasting menu, they bought $240 worth of extra pasta just to try it. But the thing that was interesting to me was the pasta shapes themselves. It's a vessel for white truffle. That's why it's so expensive. It's like the most expensive ingredient you can buy. And they serve it usually it's very plainly and elegantly served, you know, pasta, you know, a little butter, Parmesan, whatever, truffle. It's like Toro at a sushi restaurant. You don't want to put spicy mayonnaise all over it. It's going to step on it. You don't put ketchup on a steak unless you're Donald Trump. And they had, of all the pasta shapes and sizes in the world, and the bucatinis and the raviolis and all this stuff, they had this one that was kind of like an angel hair, very delicate. And then the second one was called fagottini. And this was in the year 2024 in San Francisco.
Well, Jason, I think the pasta shape was named Fagottini probably in the 1800s. I don't think this is like.
I don't think
this is a new thing. So
I'm not saying that this pasta shape was created by this restaurant. I'm just saying, of all the shapes in the world, I guess there's another similar interesting thing at St. John. They will also sort of, not proudly, but you're making a statement because there is another food dish, like a British cuisine called a faggot.
Really?
Yeah. Let me see.
Is it a pile of sticks?
No. What is it?
This feels like something you might have made up.
This is a fun thing. Okay.
It's meatballs.
Meatballs made from minced offcuts and offal. Usually from pork, you know, so pig's heart, liver,
ooh,
all that stuff mixed together in a meatball. So I know it's a British staple.
Well, the Italians have no problem, you know. Italians have no problem, so it doesn't surprise me. But also
British people call cigarettes that word as well. So to me it just seems like is this a word that we all need to still hang on to in the culinary world? It's not like, no, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's disputing it because it is, you know, like, okay, this is a real word that you guys have been using for, you know, a long time. So I guess we can grandfather it in if we absolutely have to still write out a menu that says faggots on it.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Come up with a new word and just demand everybody uses it? That's not how things work, because it doesn't matter enough. It's not like it's not an important enough issue. You know what I mean? It's not like,
yeah,
I've never seen this. I didn't know this meatball dish existed. First of all, I mean, all pastas kind of have funny Italian names that I don't think about, you know, besides angel hair, actually.
Sure.
But I do. I mean, it's interesting. And I do think it's fun for the staff is the reality, but I don't.
Well, and also, like I was saying before, there are, you know, potentially thousands of different pasta shapes and sizes. So there have to be such small, subtle differences between all of these. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like a spaghetti is the most common, ubiquitous pasta shape that we've all known. It's a thin, long noodle. There are probably 300 different variations on that spaghetti, and they all have different names. You know, this one's a little bit thicker, this one's a little bit shorter, this one has a hole in it, this one has marks in it, whatever. There's zillions of different spaghettis. So why not just, if there is a pasta shape with this name, can't we just use one with a name that isn't that word, that's just kind of close enough that gets you there? You know what I mean?
This is why.
Like, is this a hill that we need to die on? Is this a tradition that we need to preserve?
Maybe this is why you didn't make it as a chef, Jason, because you're not committed. You're not committed to using the right ingredients when called upon. You know, you want to cut corners and change things and try to upend the industry and upend hundreds of years of Italian pasta making history. With this kind of stuff?
And British, too. Don't
and
forget. British,
yeah. I just don't think that you're in a position at your young age, comparatively,
thank you,
to kind of make these changes to the culinary landscape. I just don't think that's your place. And I would appreciate if you stopped talking out of turn, if I'm being honest.
It's just always so weird because you would see these British chefs, you know, and many of them are excellent, you know, like April Bloomfield or all these people. And they'll make a point of saying that word as if it's like a thing that we really need to preserve. And when we are in the restaurant and the server says the word, you know, we're not giggling like a South Park episode, but it's a little jarring out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting because of that word in particular, because it was such a often uttered word when you're like 12 years old. If you're our age, you know what I mean? It was like, it was absolutely part of the vernacular of like a teenage boy, mm-hmm, in middle school in the 90s.
A popular slur.
I don't hear it at all anymore. Unless it's coming from a gay man and he's calling me that, mm-hmm, is usually what it is.
Or so, unless I'm about to get in a fight in Orange County. That's the only other time I hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it does feel, but I think that when you're British in this, like taking the Italians out of this, but when you're British, I think that like history is very important to them, more so than maybe any country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's also like a thing that happens where you don't, it's been called that since you were, you don't even consider it as a problem, because it's like,
mm-hmm.
that's just what it's called. You know what I mean? You're not like looking for a way out, is what I'm saying.
No, I mean, that's true. That's all fair. But to me, it just, you know, the meme of the student in the classroom who looks like a vein's about to pop out of his skull.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it reminds me of, is just a high school student being like,
well, oh, look, it's absolutely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no question. But I also think that it's just like, there's a level of like, what, that's just what it's called, that it's kind of hard to argue with.
Sure.
You know, that's what it is. But Jason, I like that you're on the front lines of change, and I didn't know this was an issue that was so close to your heart. So we can, if there's like a anything you want to donate to, or like if you want to kind of start a petition to take down certain pasta shapes, we can. I mean, I'll sign.
Honestly. I mean, for last weekend, I DJ a charity event for abortion fund relief, and now this? How do I have time with all of my philanthropic efforts, right?
Yeah, you're such a philanthropic. You give and you give and you give. Between this and fixing stuff around the house, I don't know how you have time to do this show.
Yeah, I have such karma vibes. I think karma is so important.
that's true. What is your plan tonight, Jason? You just on your recovery swag?
No, I feel pretty recovered. Got home, walked the doggos. You know, obviously it was dealing with water heater gate, and now and then I hit the sauna. Had a nice lovely sauna where I did not watch TV on the iPad or read. I just kind of sat there. Just couldn't be bothered to look or listen.
I try to do that sometimes in the sauna as well. And it's nice. It feels like that's what you're supposed to do a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're supposed to get your dick sucked, but it's better in the wet than the dry.
I see. Okay. Okay.
You use the dry sauna to advertise your dick.
Oh.
And then you use the wet one for getting down to it.
Okay. That's good to know. And how do you know this, just from spending so much time in public saunas?
Howlonggone.com is our website. You can go check us out. We will be we have some merch that is going to be released probably this week. We finally got our Nalgenes in. We're getting those up, and that's going to be exciting. What else do we have going on? I think tonight I'm just going to get some dinner with my lovely wife. And, you know, probably have some natural wine.
That's great. Well, I have 18 hours of travel tomorrow, so I'm kind of going to take it easy.
Well, I didn't ask, but go ahead, I guess.
I was going to go get, I was like, I need some like navy blue t-shirts. I don't have any. So I was like, oh, there's a Uniqlo in San Francisco, obviously. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's closed. And then I looked up the mall, the mall next door to the hotel. Everything's closed. It's like all like, and then I read these stories about how all of these brands are just like, we're out, like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And
all the Westfields are gone.
I thought people were, as usual, I thought people were exaggerating.
No,
but they weren't.
No, I felt so bad when we went to that mall by our hotel, and then there was that store where it had a sign that said, we're closing on the 25th for good, which I guess was yesterday. So that means we were there the day before closing, and it was just a high school student on her phone. We walked up to, so it was a restaurant that only sold miniature pies.
Well, it was those kind of Portuguese egg tarts.
Yeah, it was a restaurant that only
sold Portuguese egg
tarts, which is a delicious dessert.
Delicious.
And if you get a well-made one, truly one of the most sublime sweets you could put in your pie hole. There was a girl working there, and when we approached the shopkeeper's storefront, instead of putting her phone down and greeting us or welcoming us or let me know if you have any questions, she never stopped looking at her phone and then just walked to the kind of the side back room, like the storage area, and just hid in there to keep using her phone.
Smart, honestly. Look,
it is smart, but if the store is about to go out of business, then yeah, who cares? But it's a real, like, I could just imagine the person, the lovely person who raised the money and took out loans and business plans and all, you know, taxes and permits and codes and finally got their dream business created. And that's what happens. That's the face of your business.
I would say if that's your dream business, it should be a dream hobby, because that doesn't seem like something that's going to kind of, no matter how much of an overachieving high school student you're able to hire or an underachieving one, it ain't going to sell Portuguese egg tarts in 8 flavors in a mall on Market Street. That's just not going to happen.
I mean, even if you sell 100 of them a day.
Yeah. I don't even know the food cost. We don't have time for this. How long gone? Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with more podcasts. And Jason, I'm glad you made it home.
Yeah, and thank you to Jay Maskus if you're discovering us from the first time by listening to that episode. I'm just kidding, that didn't happen. But a shout out to my new favorite nonverbal king. Jay Maskus is too good. Not a mincer of words.
Thank you to our SF family, everybody who took care of us here, Jonah and Adam and Chad and I don't know who else, but we had a good time.
The whole team over at the SF Sketchfest who may have not loved
the whole my team.
Fagatini bit.
It's crazy because the SF Sketchfest, I thought, I didn't know, like, all the comic book stores must have closed for the week because all the employees were working at SF Sketchfest. It was kind of nice.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, I talked about anime for a while with the door guy. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. I love chatting today.
Yeah, I needed this. It was a nice little Friday download. Wait. Upload?
God damn it. Goodbye.